Hey there and welcome to Soul Church.
Our prayer is that this message encourages you wherever you may be in life.
You know, we've been hearing so many stories about what God is doing in people's lives, and we'd love to hear yours. So take a second and send your story to stories@soulchurch.com.
Thanks again for joining us today, and we hope that you enjoy the message. God bless.
Thank you. It's great to be in chapel. I absolutely love it. Well done on tuning in. Got a banana. You can grab your seats here in the room and, of course, in your living room. And thank you for taking the time to be with us. It's a beautiful song we're singing at the moment. It's called One Word From You. And I'm believing that God can give you one word that can change you, change your perspective, change you on the inside, do something fresh. So come on, who's got some faith for that in your living room? Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you that one single word from you can change. Change us on the inside, change the circumstances around us. And so we look to you and ask you to breathe upon your word, open our hearts and focus our minds to receive everything you want to say to us. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. The title of this message is Tripwires, Rabbit Holes, and Monkey Traps. Let me say that again. Tripwires, Rabbit Holes, and Monkey Traps. I love this series that Pastor John has begun. He's been preaching incredible in the last few weeks. And so I'm continuing on Tripwires. About 8 years ago, I signed up for an extreme event in Brisbane called Tough Mudder. I wonder whether if you've done Tough Mudder, put it in the chat. I know Pastors John and Chantel have done it in South Africa. And for me, it was 20 kilometers and 18 extreme obstacles through the mud. And the most famous obstacle in Tough Mudder is always the last one, and it's called electroshock therapy. Now, I think we've got a picture of it on the screen. It's hundreds of wires hanging down, and some of them, and you don't know which ones, they're charged with 10,000 volts of electricity. And so when you run through and it hits you, you know you've been hit. In fact, I went through with a mate of mine called Wayne Gorry. He's a big unit. It hit him and it dropped him like a sack of potatoes. So when you do Tough Mudder, you're pretty scared about electroshock therapy. And I was already scared about doing this, but before I did Tough Mudder, somebody showed me this video. It is the ultimate tripwire. So watch very carefully. It's about 38 seconds, but check out the screens and watch the guy at the end. For those of you listening, you might not have seen the screens. A guy ran through electroshock therapy, thought he'd made it to the end. Unfortunately, the tripwire wrapped around his neck and clotheslined him. Literally, his feet went up in the air. Thousands of volts went through his body. That is the ultimate tripwire. How many know the enemy wants to do that to you? He wants to stop you in your tracks. He wants to wrap things around your neck, send volts through your body. He will do anything to stop you completing the race. Pastor John was talking to our staff a little earlier, and he said in this COVID-19 season, when it all burst out, we were out of the traps. We were ready to sprint. We were full of creativity and energy as a church. We're putting content out there because we thought it was a sprint. Let's just do it. The reality is 14 weeks in, we're realizing it's not a sprint. It's a marathon. It's a marathon. And God wants you to finish the race. How many know it's not how well you start? It's how well you finish. And the enemy wants to take you out. In 1 Corinthians 10, it says, therefore, let him or her who think they stand take heed lest they fall. In the message, it says, we're just as capable of messing it up as they were. So don't be naive and self-confident like the guy who thought he'd made it there. You're not exempt. You could fall flat on your face as easily as anyone else. You know, none of us are immune from tripwires. We can all fall over. And in Hebrews, it talks about the need to run with discipline, to avoid the tripwires. It says, clear the path, Hebrews 12:10, for long distance runners, so that no one will trip and fall, so no one will step in a hole and sprain an ankle. Now, on Saturday, I was playing golf with my very good friend, Mark Hollinger. And we were having a good ding-dong battle, and we came up to the fifth. And I think he was one up at the time. He was feeling pretty confident. And he hit this drive, and it was an absolute beauty. He normally doesn't hit it very far, but this one he got hold of. Right down the middle of the fairway on the fifth, and his little chest is out, and he's pulling his golf bag, and he's walking down the fifth fairway, and he's seen some guys walking up onto the fourth green, and he's looking at them, kind of waving to the galleries. And the next minute, he puts his foot in a rabbit hole, and he is flat on his face. Honestly, don't clap. It was sad. All right? Now, I thought he'd broken his ankle. I thought, man, we're going to have to get Sharon up. And it was only like 9 o'clock in the morning on Saturday. She'd never have been awake. And I'm thinking, what are we going to do? We're going to have to call an ambulance. And anyway, he's a tough little fella. So he ended up getting up, and I beat him on the 17th. But that's another story. But rabbit holes. The rabbit hole of distraction. The rabbit hole of self-confidence, thinking you're doing great. And God wants to make sure that we've got our eye on our own lane. We're running the path that He has marked out for us, and we're not waving to the galleries and falling down rabbit holes. I'm just so glad he didn't fall in the rabbit hole, because we might not have found Mark Hollinger if he'd gone in there. Who knows? He could still be there. The rabbit holes of distraction, the rabbit holes of better opportunities. Let's be long distance runners. Let's be in this for the long haul. It's not a sprint, it's a marathon. So we're going to look at one verse and unpack it a little bit today. Is that okay, guys? We've got the models up here. Aren't these handsome? I think we picked the guys who are the biggest overachievers. Lee Daniels and Eli, you both did very well. Give them a round of applause if you think so. As a fellow overachiever, I like that you were clapping there, Nia. That was awesome. All right. Proverbs 29:25. This is the verse we're going to unpick. It says, fear of man will prove to be a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is kept safe. The fear of man is a snare. The fear of people, it's a snare. It's a tripwire. But practically, what does that look like? What is the fear of man in our lives? So you're making notes, 3 points. Number one, the fear of not pleasing people is a snare. The fear of not pleasing people. I need to be honest. At heart, I am a people pleaser. I grew up that way. I wanted to please my school friends, wanted to please my teachers, wanted to please my parents, my coaches. And as an adult, I realized probably not graduated from that. We want to be followed and liked on Instagram and Facebook. How many of you at home would be honest enough to say, you're a people pleaser too? I got my hair cut on Saturday, first day we could legally get a haircut, tried 4 barbers, they were all full, walked past the market, there was a barber. I thought, oh, I'll give him a go. Said, will you cut my hair? He said, of course. He'd been cooped up for 3 months, hadn't got on any hair, and I think he took it all out on me. He just chopped the lot. He finished, I bumped into Rachel and Mercy outside of Marks and Spencer's. Mercy said, Dad, what have you done? Rachel said, you look like a billiard ball. How many know that sometimes you just need a little bit of affirmation and a little bit of approval? Are you laughing at my hair back here, all right? Because you guys can see the bald spots, all right? Proverbs 29:25 in the Passion says this, the fear of human opinion disables. Wow. The fear of human opinion. You know, everyone's got an opinion these days. And sometimes we can be so scared of people's opinions, what they think of us, the way we look, the way we dress, the way we perform. And it says it disables. Wow. leads to disability. It's our fear of people's opinions that stops us participating in certain things, stops us stepping forward into certain opportunities. Because of the fear of people's opinions. The Apostle Paul warned in Galatians about not living to please people, but instead living to please God. In Galatians 1 verse 10 says, "Am I now trying to win the approval of men or of God? Or am I trying to please men? If I was still trying to please men, I would not be a servant of Christ." People pleasing is a tripwire. It can limit you. It can take you out. And in the book of Samuel, there's a story of Israel's first king. His name was Saul. The man was physically gifted, huge leadership ability. The Bible says he stood head and shoulders above everyone else in Israel. The people of Israel loved him and they chose him to be their king because of his outstanding leadership ability. He starts pretty well, but here's where it goes wrong. He hits a tripwire. 1 Samuel 15:24, then Saul said to Samuel, "I've sinned, I've transgressed the commandment of the Lord and your word because I've feared the people and obeyed their voice." Man, if it can take the king of Israel out, full of gifting and ability, the fear of pleasing people can take all of us out. It's a snare. It's a tripwire. When it comes to pleasing God or pleasing people, which do you choose? So number one, the fear of not pleasing people is a snare. Number two, you ready for this at home? All right, got your cup of tea, your coffee, your whatever, hot chocolate. Number two, the fear of not performing well for people is a snare. In 1 Samuel 15, we discover that Saul fears people and tries to please people. But in 1 Samuel 17, just two chapters later, we discover that Saul fears Goliath and is petrified. Goliath's a 10-foot giant. He steps into the Valley of Elah and he challenges all of Israel. Not once, not twice, but 80 times. 40 days, morning and evening. He said, "Will someone come and take part in representative combat? One man from each nation, whoever wins, they win." And 80 times Goliath steps out. "Come on, who's going to come and fight me?" And 80 opportunities for the man that should have stepped up. Saul was head and shoulders. Everyone's thinking, "Come on, mate." He was the king and the commander in chief. He should have stepped up, but he didn't. He sends a teenage boy to face him. Be very careful of sending people to do things that you don't have the guts to do. It's not cool. He should have stepped up, but instead Saul stepped back. Let's look at the Passion translation of Proverbs 29:25. It says, "Fear and intimidation is a trap that holds you back. But when you place your confidence in the Lord, you will be seated in high places." The first part of this verse describes Saul. The second part describes David. Look at it again. Fear and intimidation is a trap that holds you back. That's Saul. He wouldn't fight him. He wouldn't step onto the Valley of Elah. But the second part is David. When you place your confidence in the Lord, you will be seated in high places. That's David. Which part of that verse applies to you? Which part of that verse is going to apply to you this week? In your home, in your workplace, when it comes to opportunities, when a Goliath rises up in your finances, when Goliath rises up in your family or in opportunities at your workplace, which part of that verse will describe you?
fear and intimidation or confidence in God. During the lockdown season, my brother cleaned out my dad's garage. My dad died a couple of years ago, and he had a shed on the farm, a garage, and my brother cleaned it out, and he found a whole load of stuff, some very interesting stuff. One of the things that he found was my maths book. There you go. I don't know whether it's a Steve Mawson mathematics, all right? 1B. All right, so I was about 12 years of age. Let me tell you, this is a beautiful thing. My teacher was called Mrs. Wolf. What a great name for teachers. All right, my art teacher, she'd never married. She was about 65. She was awful. Her name was Mrs. Hag, which seemed quite appropriate. I had a Mrs. Wolf and a Mrs. Hag. If you had a funny teacher's name, put it in the chat. We'd love to see that. But here's the thing about Mrs. Wolf. Even though she had a weird name, she was really nice. She was always encouraging. And if you look through my maths, you will see I pretty much got everything right. Come on, give me a round of applause at home, my mathematical ability. But that was in 1B. My next teacher was named Mr. Oswald. He was a nutter. He used to hit people. If you forgot your pen, you'd have to write a love letter to Barbie, which he would read out at the end, all right? He would literally throw punches at kids. You'd see their heads flying. He was full of intimidation. And guess what happened to my mathematical ability? It went from that under Mrs. Wolf to that under Mr. Oz. Why? Because I was so scared of losing, getting it wrong. I wonder in your life whether fear and intimidation is doing the same to you. Let's be leaders who are more like Mrs. Wolf, that breed confidence and get people to step up, not like a Mr. Oswald that get people to shrink back in fear and intimidation. Let's look at Proverbs 29 again. Fear and intimidation. It's a trap that holds you back. But when you place your confidence in the Lord, you will stand in high places. I'm saying you will stand in high places. I believe there's people listening to me, and God has got high places of opportunity, high places of influence that God is going to give you a confidence to step into in government, in leadership, in the sports, in the arts. God is raising up people whose confidence is in God. Fear holds you back, but confidence propels you to success. Saul was scared of losing against Goliath. Fear of not performing well, of losing. Isn't that an old preacher's story? I've often heard this told in kids' church. The way that monkeys were caught and trapped in Southeast Asia. Monkeys are very agile creatures. If you run after them, you'll never catch them because they're up a tree. They get away from you. And so they had to learn how to trap them. So what they did is they would take things like bananas and peanuts and they would place them into jars with narrow openings. And the monkey would reach in for the banana and it would take hold on the inside of the jar and it would clench your fist. And guess what? Now with its fist clenched, holding on to something, it couldn't take it back out of the jar. And so literally they would be trapped with their hand in the jar and the jar would be on a rope and the monkey couldn't get away. And the hunters would come and throw a net and catch the monkey. And I know some of you are now feeling sorry for the monkeys because that's the world we live in. But you'd look at it and you say, well, why don't you just let go? Because if you let go, you can walk free. I wonder whether you've ever held on to something. The deep inside you know, I should let go of this and walk free. But it's not that you're holding it. It's now holding you. And you can't let go. The first time I saw this Joseph, who's coming up to do communion later, it was in the YMCA. Joseph works for the YMCA. And I remember this 14-year-old girl coming into my office. And she didn't have a lot of self-confidence. Her parents belittled her, didn't believe in her. She's a beautiful girl. She had a whole life ahead of her. She got involved in this relationship with a guy, and that gave her a little lift. It was all good at first, but then he started to treat her really bad. I mean, really badly. And pressure her into things that she knew deep down at her age she shouldn't be doing. I remember her telling me about this stuff, and I was fairly young and naive in helping people, and I challenged her, why don't you just let him go? And I remember her bursting into tears and walking out of the office. And when she came back in, she explained, but nobody's ever loved me. Maybe nobody ever will love me. So I'd better hold on to this, even though it's hurting me, even though it's a snare to me. At least if I hold on to this, maybe I've got a future. It's a snare. I wonder what you're holding on to that's actually holding on to you. What is it that you need to let go of? What are you scared of losing? The things that aren't helping you, the relationships that aren't building you. Maybe you're holding on to memories or feelings or people that you need to break free from. Maybe you need to let go of the past and the bitterness and the offense. For a moment, stop and think, what would happen if you opened your hand? If you let it go? What opportunities could that open up for you? What potential could that release? What new possibilities if you could trust God for something fresh in that area of your life? Fear of man will prove to be a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is kept safe. Friend, if you will release that, God can provide. God can provide something so beautiful that's a fit for you, that will help you in your future. So number one, you're still with me? Come on, I know that was a bit heavy, but I'm believing it's going to help some of you. Fear of not pleasing people is a snare. Fear of not performing well or losing in front of people. And then number three, the fear of not receiving praise from people. Saul feared the people's opinion, so he obeyed their voice rather than God. Secondly, Saul was performance-based. He didn't want to step onto the field against Goliath. He didn't want to lose. He failed to trust God. But number three, perhaps the final nail in Saul's coffin came after David had slayed Goliath. The irony. Saul could have faced him, but he didn't. He sent a young teenager in. And what happened when David slayed him is this. The women came out onto the streets, and in 1 Samuel 18 it says they sang, they danced, and they said, Saul has slain his thousands, but David his 10,000s. And it says Saul was angry and it displeased him. Question, how do you react when somebody is praised more than you? How do you react when somebody outperforms you or is promoted higher than you? Do you celebrate their success, or does it feed your insecurity? Insecurity is a snare, it's a tripwire, it is a monkey trap, and we all have insecurities. Every one of us. In Romans 2:20-29 says, a person is a Jew who is one inwardly. And circumcision is circumcision of the heart by the Holy Spirit. It says such a person's praise is not from other people, but from God. Where's your source of praise? Because if you're looking for praise from people, they will always leave you short. They will never give it when you need it most. The one person whose praise you can always rely and depend on is God. He sees you and he says it when you need it most. We're all insecure, every one of us. My insecurity for 20 years was when I was preaching. I was more inclined to say things that would get praise from people rather than praise from God. I wish I could rewind the clock and change that aspect of my life. I preach well, but on the inside, I was always wanting that bit of approval. That's my insecurity. Friend, what's yours? We've all got that void on the inside. And in 2 Corinthians 2:11, it says, lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Satan knows your void. He knows your insecurity. He knows where to lay a tripwire, where to set the monkey trap. Don't be ignorant of his devices. It's a device. Maybe your insecurity is when you look at Instagram, how's your life? Who's unfollowed you? How do you feel when someone else has got the latest thing? Or maybe your device is a rabbit hole. Pastor John talked last week about that email you get from Helga in East Germany. And you click on Helga. And she takes her clothes off and she leads you down a rabbit hole. You click on another. And then before you know it, you're trapped. You don't know your way out. It's tripwires. Rabbit holes. And what was the other one? Monkey traps. Thank you, team. You're awesome. How do we break free? So come and land this message. I want to take you to a scripture I found that I just loved. Come on, who loves the word? Who loves research and finding things and seeing things? I went to Mark 6. To get to Mark 6, you've got to go to Mark 5, and that's pretty awesome. Jesus has successfully navigated the tripwires that the enemy set for him in the wilderness. 3 times tried to trip him up. Jesus overcame, and he's unleashed. And in Mark 5, the most incredible miracles. There's a homeless guy that's cutting himself, lives in the tombs. They didn't have mental health hospitals back then, so they tied him up and he broke the shackles and he'd cry at night. I'm thinking, man, can you picture that guy? Flip, he needed help. Jesus walks in and he falls at his feet and worships Jesus. Jesus has compassion on him, sets him free. Amazing. There's a woman that's got an issue of blood, a gynecological problem that leads to social isolation for 12 years. It leaks out of her, and in a moment, she touches Jesus. She's healed. What a transformation. Jairus' daughter has died, and Jesus speaks a word, and he's raised to life, and you're like, oh my word, Mark's gospel, fasten your seatbelts. One chapter. We get to Mark 6. Verse 1, it says, Jesus left there. Left a trail of miracles, a trail of transformation. And he returned to his hometown. His disciples came along. And on the Sabbath, he gave a lecture, online church in the meeting place. He made a real hit. Everyone followed him on YouTube. He impressed everyone. Instagram followers went up. We had no idea he was this good, they said. How did he get so wise all of a sudden? Such great ability. And they're like, wow. This is hometown. They're loving it. They're thinking there's no one like Jesus. But then, watch this. It says, but in the next breath, they were cutting him down. He's just a carpenter. Mary's boy. We've known him since he was a kid. We saw him playing football in the streets and he wasn't that good. We know his brothers, little tinkers, James, Justus, Jude, Simon and his sisters. He was part of a big family. Who does this Jesus think he is? Listen to this. They tripped over what little they knew about him and fell sprawling. They never got any further. They tripped over what little they knew about him and fell sprawling. The tripwire of limited knowledge of Jesus. Our nation is filled with people who knew a little in school, saw a little bit on the TV, and it was just enough to trip them over and send them sprawling. Friend, don't trip on the tripwire of limited information about Jesus. Get to know him, because the more you get to know him, the more you will love him, the further you will go. They tripped over what little they knew about him and fell sprawling. And they never got any further. Don't know about you, but I want to go further. I don't just want to sprint out of these blocks. I want to finish the marathon. Say, how do you do it? How do you get through the tripwires? How do you get out of the rabbit holes? Free from the monkey traps, you get to know Jesus. Get to know him. They that know their God shall be strong and do exploits.
Thanks again for tuning in. And if you said the salvation prayer today, we'd love for you to email connecttofaith@soulchurch.com. So we can talk to you a little bit more about this incredible decision that you've just made.
Yeah, you know, and if at any point in the service you felt moved to give towards any of our local or global initiatives, then head to soulchurch.com and click on the giving at the top of the page.
Thanks again for joining us today, and we hope to see you again soon. God bless.